everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Well, here we are again in another one of those situations. Situation for sure. Crisis? No, crisis. No deaths, no dying yet. Crisis. Inconvenience for sure. For sure, an inconvenience. And it's a funny thing that happens now. People's strengths and weaknesses appear at this kind, this time, when there's a major thing going on between transit workers and the city, and there's this kind of power struggle going on, and there we are getting caught in the middle. You know, it's kind of a funny thing, getting caught in the middle. Getting caught in the middle, but if you spend your life doing that, getting caught in the middle, this is like we're here we are again. Caught in the middle, just like little kids. You know, the parents are having a fight, and there you are, like a little kid whose parents are having a fight. And now, you know, because they're having a fight, you can't have a decent Christmas. It does feel like that, you know, to a lot of people. A lot of people who talk about it as a very important thing, because it really is important. There are important power lines being drawn here. But, you know, so many others who are not involved in the power lines or think they're not involved in the power lines very often have to react and have to deal with it. I heard today that somebody who had a Christmas party for some social workers. That was going on today. They were having their Christmas party today. And these are people who strained and worked and slaved and got barely any money. And they were given a Christmas party. And they had to cancel it because nobody could go. Quite a thing. Quite a thing. There's an executive part of your brain, your frontal lobe, that helps you organize things in crisis or when there's a major change and you're not in control of it. That's why the frontal lobe is a very important part of your being. And don't wear tight hats because you may squeeze it out of function. Now, it's not so much the stress of getting through a day when you don't have, you know, when everything is kind of thrown amok. You know, consider it's holiday season. Consider most of you are already stretched out already. Already. Right? So now, the strike becomes an opportunity to either deal with it positively or deal with it negatively, but it's very hard to deal with it positively. You've been major inconvenienced. Many of you. A lot of people who are at home are easy to raise their banner and say, go, 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 strikers, you know? Not so much in the streets trying to struggle to their jobs and earn a living. There are a number of facts that could get in the way here. Finances. If you need to earn your buck today, you need to earn your dollar today, and you only get paid for the time you show up. A critical factor, because you may have been depending. Well, I'll just work a little overtime for the next 3 days. You can't get to your job. Health. You may have compromised physical condition. Oh, well, I could always get to work, you know, and then, boom, suddenly you're forced to walk more blocks than you thought you had to walk. Partners are important. You know, are you in it alone? Do you have to deal with it alone, or do you have a partner? Do you have a friend? Do you have a relative that helps you deal with it? Do you walk the streets with somebody, or do you walk them alone? This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. As somebody who has been in the mental health profession for a number of years, I want to go over a bunch of personality reactions that you'll see at this time, and maybe you'll identify them. Maybe you can become your own amateur psychologist. Maybe even charge a nickel, you know, like Lucy. Here it is now. Histrionic personality. Histrionic personality. Already overloaded people who tend to be, as the word describes, hysterical. Tend to be on the edge. Not just angry, but nervous types, you know? They respond to a crisis with a panic. And now they're really completely shot. They can't handle it at all. A person who responds to a crisis with panic usually has an underlying hysterical condition. Otherwise, you don't respond with panic. You know, panic is that you just pushed it over one amount. Or there's a dependent personality functioning, so this is another kind. This is the one who responds feeling very infantile at the moment, that the minute they see it, they go, oh my gosh, and they look for someone to help them. Who's going to help me? Who's going to take care of me? And they make phone calls and they present themselves as completely powerless. And somebody who's another type but a compulsive savior steps up and says, oh, I'll take care of you. Compulsive saviors, people who must, they look at opportunities, crises like this, as opportunities to put themselves out there for people. And even though it sounds like a wonderful thing, we need those kind of people around, these are the kind of people who feed crisis, because without crisis, they're useless. So somewhere indirectly, they're making, they're kind of happy for whatever the crisis is. Then, my friends, this is, by the way, if you just tuned in, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We're talking about a number of different reactions that people could have from a psychiatric point of view or a psychological point of view. There's the avoidant personality disorder. Now, the avoidant person is a person who generally avoids people. And when the avoidant personality sees something like this, they use it as an excuse to withdraw even further. Now they go further into their hole. They're just going to stay home. They're not going out. Now they have an excuse to even withdraw further. Then, of course, there are people who are phobic. You know, there's agoraphobia, which is when you're allergic to angora sweaters. No, agoraphobia means you don't like crowds. You're afraid of crowds. Now you get out there, and suddenly there are these crowds in the streets. The streets are jammed, right? Because people are not underground, they're overground. And you could really feel panic. And then there's the claustrophobics, which are people who are afraid of Santa Claus. No, people who are afraid of closed spaces. Enclosed spaces. And you could get, if you're somebody, the disadvantage of being under 5'6" in this city is that when a group of people are moving, you can't breathe. There's just no room for you, you know. My advantage, I'm 6'2", and I'm, boom, my head's above everybody's head. I never even understood claustrophobia till somebody explained it to me. There are different personality types that will have different reactions. There's an obsessive-compulsive personality type, many of whom, you know, people who like to strategize and line up the ducks and put things in order. Many of them planned for this last week. They have their plan, and their plan is enforced. They've got four people ready to travel with a car, and they're going down at certain hours. And they may not have been prepared for the kind of crowds that there were today, but they did good because they prepared. And they look at the ones who didn't prepare, and they say, you see, my obsessive compulsive neurosis really is better than your disorganized histrionic personality. They don't say exactly those words, but they mean it in effect. Then there's a sociopathic personality. This is the kind of one that exploits the situations. It could be cab drivers. Rarely. I've seen only good cab drivers. Cab drivers who are really kind and care about people. They're sympathetic. They are sympathetic. They care about the people. They pick you up. They don't overcharge. But they are the ones who overcharge. You know, they see it as an opportunity to exploit you. There's another group of sociopathic people who are breaking into stores knowing that the police can't respond. You know, the police can't get in through a crowd. So there's a person who sees it as an opportunity to break the rules and take advantage of it and take advantage of people. Along with that goes a thing called a defiant personality disorder. And that's a person who's kind of antisocial. But they're going to break any rules they can now, because they just are rule breakers. If they say you cannot go below 96th Street unless you have a car that has four people in it, they'll find cutout dummies. They'll find a way to do it. They're going to get through. They feel that there's a rule, and I'm going to get out of this rule. I was just thinking about it today, and I was thinking, you know, it's pretty hard to earn a dollar nowadays, especially in any kind of a crisis. Wouldn't it be wise for somebody to have placards and say, body for hire? And then they could be taken downtown for, let's say, $20. $20, I'll sit in your car so that you could go below 96th Street. And you get a group of those people, you know, and they work together, and then they get downtown, and they come back uptown. Somehow, let's say a cab, which cost them $10 to get uptown, and then $20, they get them back downtown. It could be an organized field. Somebody who's very smart right now could be organizing this and have people for rent. You know, out-of-work actors and people who, you know, need to be making some kind of a dollar. There's always a way to make a dollar out there. Then we have the rescuer personality, which I talked about before. They jump all over the situation. Then there's another thing called the intermittent explosive disorder. Now, this intermittent explosive disorder is a kind of person who blows up intermittently. They explode for no reason. And this is the person who beeps the horn. You know, you could be lined up 50 deep on one block. It could be going 1 second, you know, or 1 mile every 20 minutes. No, one block every 20 minutes. And you're bumper to bumper, and everybody's trying to make it work. Everybody's trying to do their job. You know, the police are calling people over. They're getting rid of cars. They're letting cars through. And there's going to be one person who beeps their horn, right? Intermittent explosive disorder. You know, in South Asia, there's a disorder that's very specific to South Asia called amok, A-M-O-K, yes. You know the expressions, he was running amok? It comes from this disorder. It's acute, unrestrained, violent reaction. A person is running amok means they've gone crazy and they're just going to hurt anything. It's almost like, you know, they're ready to bite anybody who's in their vicinity. That's amok, A-M-O-K. And then, of course, there's addictions. If you're an addictive personality, this is a time when you think everything in you says, you know what would help us handle this? A little of your addiction. You know, let's have a little. You're a non-smoker. Listen, there are all those smokers out there in the streets. Get a cigarette. You're a non-drinker. You've become somebody who's gone dry. You know, not a bad idea. One shot of booze. It's cold outside. You know, it's cold. It's very cold. It's 22 degrees. A little liquor will just get you through. Smoke a joint. You know, do whatever. I mean, whatever the addiction commands, it's going to happen. What if you're a love addict? You know, they say there's love addicts nowadays. You go out there and you fall in love, right? You find somebody and you say, oh, this is a good time to start a new relationship. Another personality disorder is a narcissistic personality disorder. Now, this is an interesting thing. Narcissists use the crisis to call attention to themselves. And they will use this crisis to call, they'll stand up and they'll say, you should have seen what happened to me. And they'll embellish the story a little bit. But suddenly the attention goes to them. Not what the issue is, just the attention must go to them. It makes them bigger than they are. Crisis. Emergency. A sudden, generally unexpected occurrence. A set of circumstances that demand immediate actions or immediate changes. Yes, we're in one. We've been in one before. We've been in many. This one is tough. There are people at risk. There are people's health at risk. You know, this is something that really needs to be hammered out in some way. We're seeing the crisis of it. I have no opinion one way or another. I mean, I know that we're in the middle of something very important. But I also know about people and their inability to get services and health. And it's a critical moment. It's a time that we really, really, really need. if you believed in prayer now, this is where prayer works. You know, this is when you need it. For the people who are going to suffer from this in many different ways, including the transit workers who may get fined and may not get money, including the people of the city, you know, the people who have got to kind of get by, the people who don't have services. So reach into your heart, my friends, and see that at this time, even though there is no one to blame, we are in an impasse here. We're critically caught between two forces. Instead of going one way or the other, think of wherever the people are that are in need and what we could do for them. I saw some alarming statistics on Katrina, you know. Alarming was that out of, I think, you know, the number of people that died, 20% of them died from the flood itself. 80% died within 3 weeks because the care wasn't there, because they couldn't get out, because they got stuck. Get this, over 60%, two-thirds of the people were 65 and over. What happens to somebody 65 and over today? And where can you lend a hand? If you see somebody struggle, you know, how can you help? That's really what I think counts a great deal, my friends. So listen, let's talk about your emotions. Now, this is kind of an interesting thing. First, I want to say something. I have two warriors here who work with me, and I just want to make my word to Paula and Jana, who struggled their way here, and they really got here. Paula walked miles to get here, and Jana also found her way and got here real early in the morning. And why? Because she said, well, all those people won't know what to do. Here for the people, it's really beautiful. The phones, I mean, mainly having the phones available to be able to talk to people. 212-209-2900 is our number here. I want to take your calls, but here's what I'm going to ask you to do. You're going to have many opportunities by phone to talk about the political situation. You're going to talk about, you're going to say, I really want to back those transit workers. Let's leave that aside. Yes, I understand. Yes, we're doing that. Majida Lee did that. Michael G. will do that. People before will do it. People later will do it. Maybe everybody will kind of do it, okay? Let's talk about your feelings. Not your thoughts, but your feelings. What did you feel? On 9/11, I got on the air with you for 5 to the next 10 days. I said, tell me what you feel, and if it weren't for the fact that we had WBAI, barely able to broadcast, but able to broadcast, it opened up a world where you could express your feelings. And that saved a lot of people, them hearing about you. So what do you feel? What's it like for you? And let's leave the blame out of it, and let's leave the political support out of it. I understand all that, but what do you feel? Such a big question. Not what do you think. What's going on in your heart? What happens inside of you? Let's try to make peace on the inside there, so then we could become part of the healing. Do you know what I mean? 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille with you. Special edition of The Positive Mind. Hi there, you're on the air. That was quick. Hello. There we go. Hi there.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get a question in. I'd like to find out, how would you psychoanalyze the administration or the individuals who are allowing, like, the governor and the mayor, who is allowing this union situation relative to obvious motive is to destroy the union movement?
Yeah, okay.
How would you analyze them?
Okay, I will do
and
that.
And in addition, how would you analyze the other leaders in the group, like the senators Clinton and Schumer, who are acting
okay,
like
now wait, stop
the,
for a moment, okay?
Yeah.
This is what I said, you know, I don't particularly want to do. I could, and I will. I will give you a quick psychoanalytic view of everybody who's involved in it.
Okay.
But what about you? What are you doing today? Are you staying home?
Well, I'm at work. Because
okay,
I'm,
how did
I'm
you
not...
get to work today?
Well, I am a disabled individual.
So how did you get there?
I got access a ride.
You got
to. I would support.
What was it like? What was it like through Accesseride coming into wherever your workplace is? Was it easy? Was it hard? Was it convenient? Did it work? Was it arranged for you in advance?
It worked, but also you notice the importance of the MTA, the buses, and how it's important in the transportation.
So Accesseride was not part of any of this?
No.
It was not part of any of... Now, how do you feel towards Accesseride? How do you feel towards the fact that they could pick you up and they did keep their promises? Because I know sometimes they're very late when they're trying to do their rounds because it's very difficult. What do you feel towards them?
I know. I give them credit for picking me up, and I also give them credit for providing the service. And I also think that they are at a disadvantage from the point of view, I think, what the city needs is a sort of TUC, a trade union congress, to get laws like the Taylor laws off the books. I don't know how they came in the first place. It's just like it's worse than the tenement square restrictions.
I thank you very much for calling in. I will answer your question, and I'm going to go more for the feelings, but thank you for the comments, especially about Accesseride, because, you know, a lot of people consider them to be union busters because they are doing the service. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Armand. How are you?
Good, good. Could you turn down your radio all the way?
Yes, turn down.
Otherwise, you know what happens? You sound like God. It has this big reverberance. Hi there.
Hi, how are you?
Good. No, I think you've still got your radio on.
No, the radio is off. I'm
okay, good. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Right.
So you're on. What would you say about this? How do you feel about this today?
Let me see. I've been diagnosed with depression before.
Yeah.
And one of my professors in school told me that all the experiences I have in my life, All the pain, I don't get rid of it. I just keep accumulating it, and it's like an excess luggage.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel a lot of anger inside of me.
Well, that's an interesting thing. You do feel anger inside of you. Did you feel it towards? Do you feel it because of the strike? I'm not going to ask you towards whom. Did you feel it because of the strike today?
No, not really.
You feel some, do you usually feel anger with your depression, or is the anger new?
I have both. I get really depressed, and then I just get angry at people.
What's your first name?
Sergio.
Sergio. You do have both. You have both anger and depression. You know? Okay, so how would you say that the situation accentuated or brought about your condition today?
Well, today I'm having one of my good days, I think.
Uh-huh.
And, when I get mad, I just explode. You know, for no reason. And everything comes back to me, and I hate everybody.
And right now, you're not feeling that.
No, and right now I'm really mellow.
Okay, and what about yesterday? Were you mellow?
Yesterday I was mellow too.
Well, I'm glad you're mellow. I'm glad you've got it, and I'm glad it didn't throw you back. Yes, that's the way it works when you have that kind of timing, you know, that goes place. You get really explosive, and then you become really, really depressed. It's brutal. It's
yeah.
Brutal.
Brutal. I don't know what to do.
Now, I understand, Sergio, and I hear you've seen a lot of doctors, and you're doing some work on this.
I have tried, but not at the moment.
You're not seeing anybody at the moment. It's very, very tough. You know, very tough. Have you looked on the internet to try to see if there's anything that might be new and different for you?
I've been trying, but I've tried to make an appointment with you, but I don't know, because of work.
Well, let me ask you, not just me, but what about all the other resources? See, it's very hard. When you're depressed, struggling to take care of yourself is a very, very difficult thing. But while you have your good days, stick with it as much as you can. Sergio. Stick with it, because there's going to be some kind of help out there for you. And I know how tough this condition is. All right? I thank you for calling in.
Thank you very much.
Sure, Sergio. Yes, if you talk about, you know, people who have, who are disabled, depression is one of the great disablers. 212-209-2900, Armand DeMille, let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Good afternoon, Armand. How you doing?
Good. Who is this?
This is Rob, your massage therapist from New Jersey. How's everything?
Hi, Rob. You are my massage therapist. You massage my heart every time you call. Are you in New Jersey?
Yes, I am. I work at the airport now doing chair massage at Newark Airport. I've already finished school and everything.
At Newark Airport doing chair massage?
Yes.
And what is chair massage?
Well, it's the massage chair. You sit in the massage chair.
Oh, you do it out there. You do it at the airport.
Yes. But that's not the reason why I called. I want to give you an update on that, let you know I finished school and everything. But I am not directly affected. 13, 13, 13. Excuse me, I'm at the gas station. I'm not directly affected by the whole transit strike. However, you would think that I am because I've been keeping up with it and trying to, because I'm only 27 years old, so all of this is fairly new to me as far as the strike and things of that nature. And I feel the pain of everyone that's affected by it, because I know that this whole situation, the transportation in New York, is that's the lifeline for everything. I mean, the average person doesn't drive, you know, in the tri-state area. So, you know, even though I'm not affected, you would think that a person like me is not affected by it. But, I tell you, I've been listening to the radio and just watch. Like last night, for example, I was listening to Imhotep Gary Burt. And as he was announcing it, I was riding home from work honking my horn at 12 o'clock last night. I mean, there was nobody around picketing or anything in my area where I work at, because I work in Paramus at the group home. But I was literally honking my horn as if, you know, in solidarity to, you know, everybody that's affected by this whole situation.
Yeah, so you feel that. Do you feel good about this? Do you feel good about where you are and where you are in your life at this time? Because it sounds like you're coming from, Rob, a real place of power and strength now.
Well, in the last past 3 months, I have undergone a sequence of events that have been just exciting and overwhelming at the same time. I just finished school massage therapy school in October. And between last month and this month, I've been hired on the spot for two massage therapist positions. Now, both positions do not pay a whole lot of money, but, you know, it's beautiful being a massage therapist, because as you interview, the interviewer is receiving your appearance, your resume, your verbal, and they're actually receiving your service. Whereas if you're interviewing for a human resource position, that interviewer is not receiving your service.
They don't know what you do. That's really beautiful, Rob.
They don't know what you can offer them, Armand. And I'm in a position where I can actually come into you and say, well, yes, Armand, I went to school, I went to this school, I did this and I did this. And, you know, you can actually receive my service before I leave your office.
That's amazing.
So this is a beautiful, I've gone to school, I'm about 75% finished with my graduate program. I dropped that because I'm not going to graduate school anymore. And, of course, I went to
Rob, my congratulations to you. Unfortunately, I've got to take a fast break.
Yes. Because okay. The reason why I called is to let you know about my feelings toward the transit situation. I didn't call to talk about myself. I called this.
Well, I love you talking about yourself, too, Rob. I've been with you right through this. We got to take a short break.
Right.
When we come back, a little music. I think I'll play something for you, Rob. Let me go pick something. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
This is WBAI, 99.5 FM in New York. And this is Reverend Jester Jackson. Please call and support WBAI, Non-Commercial Peace and Justice Radio in New York.
TalkBack is your gathering place for the free and fair exchange of information and ideas, heard here Monday through Thursday from 3 until 5 in the afternoon. I'm Hugh Hamilton. Join me as we explore the issues and events making news across the nation and around the world, with expert guests, insightful analysis, and, of course, your comments, questions, and observations. That's TalkBack right here on WBAI New York.
It is WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial here in New York. We'll be right back with you. Lewis, a little more of that a little later as well. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We are being requested. How about a psychoanalytic view of both people on both sides of the fence? Let's talk about face. Face. You know, there's an expression, you got to save face. Saving face becomes sometimes more important than anything else in negotiating and in decisions. You know, I mean, what is it like if you're a union leader and you stand up in front of your union and you say, I'm going to get you this, I'm going to get you that, I'm going to get you this, and I get you less? You lose face. What if you're a politician? We're not going to let them get away with blah, 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 blah. You lose face. Face seems to be nowadays much more important than justice. Face. You know, we deal with it with our government. Our government stands up that we will now invade Iraq. But we got to save face. So face becomes so important. And this is called, you know, it's called narcissism. It's about your image. It's about the way you look. Can you say, I made a mistake or I couldn't get you what I wanted to get you? Do you ever feel people who at Christmas time or Kwanzaa or, you know, Hanukkah, they want to give gifts and they give gifts, they're afraid because they got to save face. Their neighbors, they have to worry about their neighbors, what to get your kid because your neighbor got your kid a gift, you know. All about face, pride. Such a funny thing to be seeing. Well, right now, in this world of what we're looking at a place where it's a 90% of this. I believe is face, 10% is reality. 10% of it is about the fact. Because they're so close, It gets stupid. You wonder at times. You know, you say, wait a minute, what are you doing? It's face. It's that people are afraid of looking bad to their associates. If only I had a way of losing face. If only I had a way of saying, you know, I didn't do that good. I did what I could. That's the idea in life. I think that's the goal, to set a society where people could negotiate and not have to worry about their egos, their face, their pride. But that's what we're involved in. So if you look for the psychoanalysis of it, and you look for trying to understand, keep thinking to yourself, face. A woman walked into a store one day, and I saw her screaming and protesting. She was protesting. She was bringing a present. She says, I bought this. I want a refund. They didn't even sell it at the store. But she was screaming, and she figured if she gets upset enough, somebody's going to pay her off. So she's screaming. One of my associates who worked with me at the time goes over to the person and says, I understand you're very upset. I can see you don't have the kind of time to be dealing with this. But before that person turned into becoming a violent patron, my associate calmed the person down by recognizing her, by seeing her, by saving her face. One of the things wrong with having arguments with your mate is sometimes they lose face. What if you prove that your husband is wrong, that his perception was wrong, that he bought the wrong thing? What if you prove it? What if somebody gives you a gift and you throw it in their face and you say, here, this is the wrong thing, you don't love me? See, face, sometimes you offend people that way. Try not to smack people in their pride, because pride is very fragile. And we're dealing with it here during this time, next couple of days. And I just wish we could get the face out of the way. I'm sure it would be easy to settle. 212-209-2900, our number here. We're going to take a couple more of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. We are talking about the transit strike, but not the transit strike per se. I don't care so much to have you talk about the transit strike. We are a political station. If you want to hear about the transit strike, you're going to hear programs all day long about the transit strike. So opinions one side or another. So what I'd like you to do is call in about your feelings instead and how it affects you. 212-209-2900. Let's hear from somebody. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Armand. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, I can. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris. Hello, Chris.
Hi. I am really angry. Really angry at the transit workers who are striking. It seems so irresponsible. It seems so vindictive. I've been in situations where I wasn't getting what I wanted from my employer, and I walked, you know. I went somewhere else. I went to work somewhere else. And I know that there may not be, that these people, this group of people, so many of them may not have that opportunity. Well, that's the frustrating part of it. I don't see an answer, really.
Well, let me ask you something, okay? And I think this is important, because a lot of people feel a similar anger. And I'm almost a little worried this time that there's going to be some acting out against transit strikers.
Right.
You know, I mean, I could see people just on the edge of it. How could you do this at Christmas, and, you know, ready to throw a brick? Let me ask you this. Have you been a victim, and I am going to say I know you have, but have you been a victim of arbitrary decisions in your early childhood that make you a little bit more vulnerable to this than other people? Because I'm willing to bet that you're not alone. There's a whole group of people who feel that way. When you were a kid, did your parents break up?
No.
How were they with each other?
They were great with each other. I was definitely probably not heard. As, you know, like my wishes weren't necessarily considered as much as what they thought was right.
Well, now that's tough. I mean, that's tough. You're not being heard as a kid, and yet, you know, your parents are decent people, but you can't be heard. Now, and that's got to be frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
So what would happen when you'd put up a big stink? How would your father handle you?
Well, there was kind of a brick wall there. I mean, this is the decision, we're the parents, and that's it.
Yeah, you know that feeling. That's the feeling that these kind of people have feeling towards each other. Do you understand that this is two sides at an arbitrating table? I don't know, you know, and they're, both of them are feeling there's a brick wall and I can't get through this. Just that same feeling that you knew and many of us knew in our childhood. It's almost like we're children and they're grown-ups because we can't get through to them. There's nothing we can do. It's such a frustrating feeling. And all I'm asking you to do is, I understand your anger, I'm asking you to understand that since you're somebody who knows what this feels like, to understand the frustration that is felt on both sides of the table.
Yeah, I think I do. And yeah. That's sad. It's even more frustrating because, as I said, I don't have an answer to this. There's no easy answer. And, It just seems the strike part of it. I get that there are negotiations, and the negotiations are difficult. But the striking part of it just seems so really irresponsible in a way.
I hear. You know, you sound like a parent who's scolding a kid. You know, you do. You do sound like a parent who's saying, you know, you shouldn't do that because it's irresponsible. Well, it's very difficult. It's very difficult to see two sides, Chris.
It seems selfish. Is what it is. And I get that they have to take care of themselves some way. I just wish there was another way they could do it. Rather than having to inconvenience so many, many people. I mean, so many people who really can't afford other options.
You know, I am sure that there are many people out there, because I've some of the most heartfelt people you can imagine are transit workers, you know, because they do so much caring so much of the time. I am sure that there are a whole bunch out there who are saying, geez, I hope nobody suffers from this. I hope nobody gets hurt. I hope nobody needs an ambulance. I hope nobody needs a fire department. I know we have to do this, but I hope it doesn't hurt anybody. You know, I'm sure they feel that as well.
Yeah.
Yep. Chris, thank you for calling in. Thank you. And thank you for saying what you feel. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. 212-209-2900. Let's hear from someone else. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay, we were having a little technical difficulty on the way.
Uh-huh.
In terms of the strike, sir.
What's your name?
You can call me Z.
Z?
That's me.
Z, are you at home? Are you at work? Where are you calling?
I'm at home. I'm disabled. And specifically disabled at this point. I just got out of the hospital having had a stroke and a petit-mal seizure. And my legs are swollen up like balloons, so I'm not moving too far today.
And you've been part of... Haven't you been part of the unions that needed to strike?
Well, sir, yes, I was a business agent. I was a business agent for the AFL-CIO, and I was a shop steward for the Teamsters. Yes, I've been involved in quite a bit of that.
Okay, so do me one favor, okay, Z, and it's just going to be a brief response because I'm not trying to get this into a political discussion, but if you'd answer Chris's question is, look, people are going to get hurt. Why strike? Why is the strike the way to do it, knowing this? And Z, I want to give you, if you would, take a minute and say, because strike is what?
Because strike is the ultimate piece of power, the way you can express your dissatisfaction. Unfortunately, it is the last resort. When negotiations fail, when communication fails, the only thing that we have left is for people to unify, stand together and say, look, we cannot be treated like this. We must have your immediate attention. And the only way we can get it is to, unfortunately, enforce our right to tell you, no, we can no longer provide the service that you're expecting from us.
Z, I really appreciate that information because it helps to hear it from you. Hey, you know, Z, you've got a great radio voice.
Isn't there? You've heard me many times.
I thought so. I thought you were familiar. I've heard you many times.
No, you have. My voice has been all the way around the world.
I hear it. Hey, I thank you for calling in. Thank you so much, Z.
Have a good day, sir.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, I thought he was who I thought he was. Hey, this is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. You know, there's a lot of compassion through here, and there's a lot of love. There's a lot of people who are feeling this kind of thing, strike. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could really strike? Imagine if we could strike against the war. Imagine when we had a million people gathered, they could have struck, you know, and really struck and really done it. Imagine if we could strike with our taxes. Imagine if we could strike with our march. Imagine if we had that power. Well, we do, but we don't use it. 212-209-2900. Let's take another call. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes. Hello. Armand?
Yes.
Hi. How are you? This is Raven. I live in Queens.
Hello, Raven.
Hi. First, I just want to say I disagree with Chris simply because transit workers provide a service for the city, okay? And it is their right to demand anything that they want. They're not millionaires. They don't live in comfy homes. They provide a service for us, and why can we not accommodate them? You know what I mean? We've got diplomats running up bills for tickets and simple people who work. They have to get their cars towed off the street.
Wait, Raven, you know, you're going to have lots of opportunity to do this on the air with the other hosts. What do you feel today? I mean, are you at home or are you at work?
I'm at home today. Today is finals. I go to Brooklyn College. And because of the transit strike, our finals are pushed back. So now I have to inconvenience myself. I'm not really complaining, but, you know, I have to inconvenience myself and wait another week. I was planning on going out of town, but anyway.
So you say to yourself, Brooklyn College, Avenue U, is that Brooklyn College?
Oh, it's Avenue H in Flatbush.
Avenue H in Flatbush.
Mm-hmm.
I think I went there for a year.
Are you serious?
No, I did, way back when. It was my first college.
Cool.
Hey, listen, Raven, though, so what you say to yourself is you say, okay, here's the way it is. I'm in the middle of a social crisis. Mm-hmm. If that's the way it's got to be, it's got to be. I was hoping to get out of town myself, but I do support the
Absolutely.
Action because there's kind of a part of me that feels like something good is going on.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
People stand up for their rights. Look what they did during the Civil Rights era. People stood up for their rights, and look what happened. Look at the results.
I thank you so much for calling in, Raven.
Thank you, Armand.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. We want to give voice. Nice voices, though, eh? You think about Raven and Z and the contrast thereof. If you think about Raven, who's taking tests at Brooklyn College, right? So she must be 20 or early, you know? And Z, whose voice has been around the world. Probably 60 or higher in that age range, and somehow their thinking kind of works together. 212-209-2900. Let's take another caller. Hi, this is Armand DeMille. You're on the air.
Hi, Armand DeMille. Yes, I work for the sanitation of Newark.
Uh-huh.
And I totally agree with the strike.
And so...
The reason why I agree with the strike...
Let me ask you something. What's your name?
Mr. G.
Mr. G, can I ask you a question? You're there, and since you work for the Transit Authority, of course you agree with the strike.
No, I said I work for the city of Newark.
But I mean, you work transit for the city of Newark, right?
Yeah, it's a sanitation.
Okay, of course you agree with it, of course. Of course you totally agree with it. These are your brothers and sisters. These are people.
That's the reason why I agree with them, Milton. I wanted to explain why.
Okay, but you see, that becomes the political discussion. The thing I really wanted to know, when I say this is your brothers and family, you have a sense of family with the people who are the transit workers. Of course you agree with them. What else would it be? And of course we know all of the facts and we hear the facts. And again, you know, throughout the day you're going to be hearing people who are going to be talking about that. You're saying in your heart, I may not like the strike, but I am going to support it. And if there was some way that the sanitation workers in New Jersey could support the New York strike and you were called upon, you'd do it in a minute, wouldn't you?
Yes, I would.
Yes, you would. I understand.
Yes, because, you know, there's no other way. If management won't negotiate with the workers, what other alternatives that they have? This law of not being able to strike is really a disadvantage for the workers. You know, they don't have no other choice but to, you know, go on strike. And it may be an inconvenience for the people, unfortunately.
Yeah, I hear you.
But the inflation, as far as rents going up, what about the inconvenience where they can't pay their rent and stuff like that?
I understand, Mr. G. I thank you so much for calling in and giving your opinion as well. Thank you.
Right, bye-bye.
212-209-2900. We're taking your calls. 212-209-2900. Armand DeMille, hi, you're on the air.